Hey there, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about The Innovation Mindset by Lorraine Hutson Marchand and John Hank. Sophie, I have to ask, did you grow up thinking innovation was this magical thing that only a few geniuses could do?
Oh, absolutely. I had this image of Thomas Edison in his lab or Steve Jobs on stage, like a lightning bolt strikes, and then boom, the future appears. But this book completely flips that, doesn't it?
Totally. The big claim is that innovation isn't a rare talent. It's a way of thinking, a muscle you can build. And honestly, that's incredibly freeing.
Right.
They make a key distinction early on. Creativity is generating novel ideas, but innovation is actually implementing them. The mindset is the bridge between the thought and the reality.
And they say our systems actually work against this mindset. Schools reward you for having the right answer and following instructions. But innovation requires divergence, asking what if, and being okay with being wrong.
They call that the convergence trap. We're taught to converge on one correct answer, but breakthroughs come from exploring lots of possibilities. It's like we have to unlearn being efficient and correct all the time.
Yeah, and that's scary. The book says the biggest barrier is the fear of looking stupid. We're wired for belonging, so proposing a wild idea feels like a threat to our status.
That's why psychological safety is so crucial, especially in teams. Leaders have to model it, admit their own mistakes, celebrate intelligent failures. You know, experiments that were well-conceived but just didn't work.
There's a great example about a hospital redesign. Instead of just looking at floor plans, the innovators spent time watching patients and nurses. They noticed subtle frustrations, like people feeling anxious and ignored, not just long wait times.
That's the first component they break down: deep, empathetic observation. You have to understand the user's unarticulated needs. A patient isn't just trying to get a prescription filled, they want to feel cared for.
Then there's reframing the problem. If you define the problem as we need a faster horse, you'll never invent the car. They talk about asking why multiple times to get to the root cause.
There's a company that wanted to reduce call wait times for customer service. That led to incremental fixes like hiring more staff. But when they reframed it as how do we reduce the number of calls in the first place, they built an online FAQ that solved most issues before anyone called.
That shift in the question unlocked a completely different set of solutions. And the third component is associational thinking, connecting unrelated ideas. Like Steve Jobs connecting calligraphy with computer fonts.
They argue that's not mystical. It comes from having a broad, curious mind. Reading outside your field, traveling, talking to different people. Building a rich mental database so you can make novel connections.
One practice they suggest is keeping an idea log. And asking forced questions like, how is my business like a rainforest? It sounds silly, but it actually forces your brain to make unexpected links.
And the book demystifies the process with rapid prototyping. Instead of perfecting a grand plan, build a cheap, ugly version and test it. A 70% right prototype in a user's hands is more valuable than a perfect plan on paper.
That bias toward action is huge. They say the perfect is the enemy of the good. And for organizations, they suggest creating sandboxes, protected spaces where normal rules are suspended, so small teams can experiment without the pressure of quarterly earnings.
It's a dual operating system, one for running the current business efficiently and one for exploring the future. Without that, companies get trapped by their own success.
The part that got me was the personal dimension. They encourage you to think of yourself as an entrepreneur, acting like an entrepreneur within your current role, regardless of your title. Taking initiative, proposing ideas, going beyond your job description.
It's about adopting a posture of lifelong learning and resilience. The book ends with a call to stop waiting for permission to innovate. The only thing standing in the way is choosing to adopt a new way of thinking.
For me, the single takeaway is that innovation starts with a question, not an answer. What if is more powerful than any brilliant idea?
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, The whole library is over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
Innovation is for everyone. We'll see you in the next one.
Bye.